Constitution too, buddy. The highest law of the land. Praise God for it. It ain't inspired, but it was written by people who believed we had the right to worship God as we see fit. And 99% of pastors have got enough sense to know how to keep people safe. There's always 1%. That's crazy, but that's in anything. Anything. Police, politicians, preachers, everything. Some percent crazy. But thank the Lord that we're able to meet tonight. All right. I'm going to start the message off tonight. We're going to do a little Bible study to try to encourage you. I've been trying to use some of the services to encourage y'all to keep on keeping on. And I like Sunday morning, we just had a shouting time, and praise God for it. But there's so much stuff going on in the world tonight. Everybody's talking about it, and everybody's asking me, so we'll have to deal with some of it. So I just want to show you a little something here tonight. Go ahead, Eric. And I'm on this blue mic, y'all, back there, so make sure it's got plenty of volume, if this thing will even come on and work right here. And in just a minute, I'll show you something here tonight. How many heard the phrase, the new normal? You missed the one that says sconce. There you go. And then there's one of these up here still on, one of the punch lights. That's it, brother. Y'all heard the phrase new normal. And everybody says, when are we going back to normal? One of the choir lights still on too, Brother Eric. Way over on the right, them overhead, those two on the right. One of them's still on. Them things don't dim good. There you go. Thank you. And they're saying, we ain't going to go back to normal. We're going to have a new normal. And if you're like most people, you just say, no, I don't want to believe that. I don't want to accept that. But just as sure as your name's what it is, we are being conditioned to live a different life after, if ever, this is over with. We're being conditioned. And we're being conditioned by the media. That's their job. That's their job, is to tell. All people know is what they tell them. And we have no way of knowing unless God shows us what's right and what ain't. So tonight, I was thinking about maybe 3 or 4 minutes. What's this brainwashing technique here, if I can get it to play here this evening? Louder.
If someone had said to you in December that by April, millions of people all over the world would be infected with a mysterious new virus that has no vaccine, you'd think they were talking about a Hollywood script. It's happened so fast, it almost doesn't seem real.
Coronavirus pandemic.
Coronavirus pandemic.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. The COVID-19 virus.
This horrible, invisible enemy.
The virus of the virus.
COVID-19.
The coronavirus.
COVID-19.
The apocalypse.
Well, most of us have never lived through anything like this.
No one is immune. It threatens all of us.
We're going to a different place, which is a new normal.
A new normal.
A new normal.
A new normal.
A dinner where your temperature is checked before you walk in.
A new normal.
New normal.
Embrace the new normals of social distancing and sheltering in place, all the physical isolation.
The new normal.
The new normal.
When we get out of the new normal and get to a new normal.
The new normal. This is the new normal.
If you want to go to a restaurant, you're going to have your temperature taken before you're allowed inside to dine. So that's just the new normal.
New normal. This new normal is going to look very, very different.
Not normal, but a new normal.
Long lines for food becoming a new normal.
The new normal.
New normal. There will be a new normal.
A new normal.
New normal.
A new normal.
The new normal.
A new normal.
This is the new normal.
This is our new normal.
Our new normal.
A new normal.
Our new normal.
New normal.
The new normal.
Our new normal.
We will transition into the new normal.
And this new normal is just the normal of future generations.
All of us should be able to name all the people we've been in close contact with over the last 2 weeks as a new normal.
Our new normal.
The new normal.
Our new normal.
Our lives will never be the same.
The new normal.
This new normal.
I think everyone's life is completely disrupted. You know, your normal pattern of, you know, go to meetings, watch sports events,
and no normalcy as we knew it.
This is not going to go away anytime soon.
This will be the new normal.
until a vaccine is developed.
A vaccine
for this terrible virus.
An amazing vaccine to the entire world.
The world awaits a vaccine.
The vaccines.
The thing that'll get us back is the vaccine.
Until we have a vaccine.
Zero tolerance. So every time we see a case, we basically pounce on it.
The vaccine.
To all 7 billion people.
Almost every expert agrees a vaccine is the fastest way to get our world back.
You know, it's so important to get not just hundreds of millions, but literally billions of those vaccines.
Legislative amendments that would make vaccinations mandatory for public school students unless they have a medical exemption.
The vaccine is the thing that will change things.
A vaccine
is critical, very broad vaccination.
The vaccine.
On the issue of the vaccine, which you've said in the past could take a year to 18 months, will we have to wait for a vaccine to hug our family and friends who are outside of our bubble?
A vaccine.
Who's a recovered person? Who's a vaccinated person? Because you don't want people moving around the world.
So eventually there will be sort of this digital...
Right there is something you need to look at. I'm all for a vaccine. Get rid of them. I really am. Any normal, smart person. But there's too much scriptural stuff happening. When you move into a digital ID, then that's coming the computer and the chip and the RFID chip and all that sounds fine. If you didn't know the Bible and something in my heart that I keep saying, the Bible says, and I keep thinking they probably don't even realize it. He probably don't even realize it. I'm not blaming him for nothing. He might be guilty. I don't know. But the devil is getting the world ready. It's getting it ready. And we've never seen nothing like this where they're going to be a digital identity to see who's been vaccinated and who hadn't.
Immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate.
He didn't say there might be. We're trying to get there will be digital immunity proof that will help facilitate global reopening. They don't want the global economy to open up until there's digital proof that you've been vaccinated.
The global reopening up.
Zero tolerance.
The RFID microchip.
Apple and Google announced new technology that could...
All right, I'm stopping right there. Go ahead, Eric. And I just thought I'd mention that to you tonight. And then take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this evening, as we always do. Spirit. I'm glad we got the Bible. I'm glad we got the Spirit. And tonight, I want to take just a minute and tell us what should we do in these crazy, terrible, terrible, terrible times. The word social. Did you know that word? I never thought about it. But the other day, I started thinking. I heard somebody say this, and I thought, just that word social. You know, that word is not in the Bible. And the word comes where we get our word society. What is society? And I wrote these things down and I put down social security. That is to give everybody security as they grow older. Social services. We've all had to deal with them at one way or the other. Society, for example. Social gatherings, a socialist. That word socialist, that's not a good word. Socialist is not a good word. Socialism is communism by a different name. That means you take from the rich and you give to the poor and try to make everybody equal. They're even talking about a global income where everybody makes the same amount of money. Really. I can give you the information on it if you want to look at it. What about social distancing, social gathering? What about social media? All those, nothing that I've mentioned is a good light, except maybe Social Security. and I don't know about that. I don't get it. I won't get it. But they said, David Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family has been for many, many years in one of the richest families in the world. Now, Rockefeller had, I think, 5 sons and put them out here and put them out there and put them out there and put them out there over countries. And they have been part of a group, the richest, most powerful people in the world, to fix the world's problems. And the way you fix problems is to keep people from fighting. And the way you keep people from fighting is erase the differences, make everybody the same. That's what they think. Of course, that won't work. But David Rockefeller said this, quote, listen to this carefully. We are on the verge, this is before coronavirus, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crises, and the nations will accept the new world order. He said that's all we need. How many of y'all have heard me in the last 10 years say the way to get the world ready for the Antichrist is a big crisis? You heard me say that? Everybody have. You ain't been listening if you ain't heard me say that. When a crisis hits, people say, oh my goodness, what do we need to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We'll do anything if you'll just give us food, give us security, make us keep our jobs, let everything be right. We'll do anything. We'll give up our liberties. We'll give up. And so tonight I want to read you some scripture here about we are on the verge of a global transformation. I believe it. And I don't know if this will do it or not, but it's definitely a step. The next one might. The next one will, or the next one will. So we need to understand our Bibles. And we understand that the Bible said in Revelation 13, the all the world goes after that beast system. And the whole world follows it and worships and wonders at the beast. And if there's a pandemic, if when that time really does come, that there's going to be a pandemic and they're going to say, you have to have the vaccination in order to go to school. Did you hear that woman say that it'd be required to have it to go to school? Did you hear that? And that makes perfect sense. You don't want the kids at school spreading around. I understand that. But man, the implications of that. My goodness, y'all. As soon as that, if that vaccine has a computer in it, which they say is coming, ID 2020, then your health information will be stored in it. And for years and years and years, everybody always wondered why the mark of the beast would be in your right hand, your forehead. And it's so weird that any mama could have told them that for the last 2,000 years. When a baby has a fever, where's the first place you check? Here or there? Isn't that weird? And we'll do that to check our temperature. Nothing wrong with checking your temperature. But you can see it pushing. It's pushing us and the whole world in that direction. And there ain't a politician in the world going to stop that. It's coming. It's coming. It may not be this go round, but it will eventually happen. Now, people are scared. People are scared. A lot of people are scared to death. I've talked to people in the last couple of weeks that's scared to go anywhere. Scared. And you know, everybody's got to decide how you feel about that. Has anybody noticed besides me that when you're out in public, people don't even want to look at you? Have any of y'all noticed that? They're just pushing buggy buns. Like, you know, like, my goodness, looking at you ain't going to give it to you, surely. But people are scared. Literally scared. And especially people that have heart conditions and respiratory problems and stuff. And I guess they should be, but there's a definite push to get people to keep people under the thumb of the government and instead of making your own decision about stuff. Now, about going to the store and stuff like that. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's look in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and we'll look at verse number 12. They were having a terrible time here, and some awful stuff was going on. And it said this, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Let's look at that again. Neither know we what to do. Other people say, I don't know what to do. People say, well, Brother Danny, I don't know what to do. Brother Danny, if they come out of the vaccine, I don't know what to do. Brother Danny, if they come out and say our kids can't go, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Look what these people said. And this study's entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Look here what they said. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, I come with good, encouraging, optimistic news tonight. We got the Lord to keep our eyes on. We got the Lord to keep our eyes on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say a few things about this. And good night. Look down there at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know what he said? There's two things there. He said, you believe in God, and you believe that prophet that he sent to you, and you'll be all right. You can't trust, sometimes you can, folks. You can't trust sometimes even your husband or wife always, but you can trust the Lord and what God said here in this book. So I'm going to say three things about it tonight, and we'll go. It won't be long. The first thing I want to say is, I want you to remember God is omniscient, people. God is omniscient. What does that mean? All knowing, knowledge. He has all knowledge. His knowledge, thank God, is not limited. He knows it. God knew this before the foundation of the world. God knew back in January that this was going to happen in March. God knew back when me and you was born that we'd be right here in this very spot. There is, when you start thinking about all knowledge, that means nothing surprised him. One preacher said it like this: has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? And that'll preach. Has it ever occurred to you that you can't think of nothing that he ain't done thought of a million years before you ever got here? I mean, the Lord has never been in heaven and thought, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. He don't do that. He already knew it. The Lord never said, well, I'll be, I never thought of that. He has all knowledge. He has all knowledge. He knows the sparrows. He knows the hairs on your head. Somebody had a bumper sticker said, God has all the hairs on your head numbered, parentheses, and your wig too. And that hair piece. He knows how many hairs is on your head. Now, if he knows every hair on your head, and he knows every single sparrow that falls, that means he knows every mosquito. I wonder why he even lets them things live. Because of sin, I'm sure. God knows every mosquito in the world. Oh, Brother Danny, he has all knowledge. He knows how much all the rocks in the world weigh. He knows how many French fries McDonald's served from January 13th to May the 30th. Of last year. Exact number, people. He knows how many Scottish girls got bee stung the summer of 1948. Think about that. He knows how much rice was eaten in Japan for the last 2,000 years. Total grains. That's some knowledge there, ain't it? People say, well, I just don't know what to do. I don't either, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. We got a God that knows what to do. Amen. Amen. Now, I listen to anybody's opinion. I try to listen to all sides and stuff like that. But when it comes right down to it, Brother Danny's going to take this Bible, and I'm going to go up my closet, and I'm going to get down there and say, God, my eyes are on you. And that's the best advice I can give y'all. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. We're living in a time when there's so much information. You don't know what's true and what ain't. It's all slanted one way or the other. It's all maybe mixed poison. Good night. You know, you're thinking, well, have you studied this? Have you studied that? It feels like you're out in a snowstorm trying to catch all the snowflakes, all the stuff they're coming out with. You can't do it. The other day, I thought about this. I thought, did you know that? Now, this was as this morning. I checked this morning. It's probably a little more by now. North Carolina and Tennessee are side by side each other. North Carolina has 19,700 cases of coronavirus as of this morning. It's probably more by now. So don't say I was wrong. It was just this morning. That was this morning. 19,700. Tennessee had 18,300. Almost the same. And yet North Carolina has almost 700 deaths. 691 deaths. Tennessee has 300. 299 this morning. 305 now. We have 19,000. Tennessee has 18,000. We have almost 700 deaths. They have 300. Now, there's one of five things wrong. Number one, Tennessee has way, way, way better hospitals and doctors than we do. Number two, there's something different about the air and the land in Tennessee that makes it less deadly. Number three, there's a different strain of coronavirus in Tennessee than there is in North Carolina. Number four, the Democrats are padding the numbers to make it sound worse to keep the economy shut down. Or number five, the Republicans are underreporting the numbers to make the economy look good. And the answer is, they're all crooks. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now look, I know how, I know I vote right. I don't vote for nobody that's a baby killer. I don't vote for nobody that's for gay marriage. I don't vote for nobody that I ain't stupid. But listen, people, how could there be twice as many deaths here as there is in Tennessee? Something ain't right somewhere. I got my opinion. You got yours, and it was obvious there a minute ago which one you was yours. But we don't know. We don't know. I tell you what we can do. We can keep our eyes on. The truth is probably both them last two is a little bit right. The truth, the truth. You want the truth? That's truth. Now, I seen a sign. I seen a sign out in somebody's yard and it's down there in Nebo, and I looked at it. And when I first saw it about 6 months ago, I thought, that's a little cheesy. That's a little nerd. So it said, God's got this. And I thought, but you know what? That sign's meaning more and more to me right now. He's got this, people. The Lord's got this under control. We're going to wind up shouting in heaven when this is all over. One way or the other, we may have to sail through bloody seas before we get there. But glory to God, brother, we'll be there shouting forever and ever and ever and ever. Things may get rough between here and heaven, but our destination is fixed. The world has no hope. They have no hope. This world trying to bring in a one world government and worship the Antichrist, the beast. That's what their answer is. They don't realize it's the devil. They don't even believe in the devil. But they, have you heard about that? ID 2020 is a electronic ID program, identification program that uses a vaccine. Listen to me, for a platform for a digital identity. ID 2020 is a program that uses a vaccine for a platform for digital identity. In other words, they've been wanting us to get digital identity anyway. Now's our chance. And I believe that's going on. I believe you'd have to be blind not to see that. GAVI, G-A-V-I, that means Global Alliance for Vaccination and Immunization, G-A-V-I. The bill, H.R. Lo and behold, 6666. HR Bill 6666. I didn't make this up. You can look it up. Is a trace bill. That means the government can send somebody to your house, knock on your door, and demand that you take a test. And there's $100 billion being spent on it to make, and make you stay home if you've been in contact with anybody. And if the truth is known, if, the first place they're going to say is, you been to church? Some of them. They won't say, have you been to Walmart? They won't say that. But the Washington governor said that test deniers will not be allowed to leave home. The governor of Washington. Bill Gates' wife was on an interview the other day on TV. And I don't know how many of y'all saw it. Somebody just pointed out to me, had on an upside down cross. That's what Marilyn Manson and the Satan worshipers in the wear. Does she know that? I don't know. Is that a coincidence? Do you wear an upside down cross on a TV interview? What kind of person would do that? Either it's a joke, or maybe there's a saying, everybody thinks it, let's just go ahead and let them think it. Or is there more, something more? I don't know. But I know we're living in a very unsettling time, brother. An unsettling time. I told you Sunday that COVID stands for Certificate of Vaccination and of Identification. It's happened all at the same time that the Pentagon releases all their UFO information. Just so happened. They say that wars, earthquakes, all this stuff is happening all together. You know, in Iran, the last day, yesterday and today, there's swarms of locusts come out so much it's darkened the sun. All right, just like in the Bible. That's weird, isn't it? They're coming here next couple of weeks. Some of them things coming out of the ground. But we're living in a very scary time. We're living in a very scary time. Rockefeller said we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crises that will accept the new world order. I believe there'll be another major crisis, and the world will finally say we'll do anything. We've got to eat. We've got to have security for our family. We'll take anything. We'll swallow anything. You can shoot anything in us. Just let us have our lives as much normal as we've always had it. And then God will send great delusion and the real thing will come. The real thing. So I said, first, remember God's omniscient. Next thing, remember God is all powerful. Not only does God know everything, people, God can do anything. He has all power. Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew 28. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he has all power. Somehow or another, we think just because God hadn't done every little old thing we ask him to, that he's somehow weak. No, no. God has not lost one bit of power. He's able to do anything. He's able to work in your marriage. He's able to work in your home. He's able to work in your heart. He's able to work on your family. He's able to fix. He's able to do anything he ever could do. God will not go transgress a person's free will. He's not going to make somebody do a certain thing. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. He has the power to do anything. Now, the Bible said in the last days, men's hearts would be failing them, heart failure, for fear. They're afraid. And that's where we're at today. There's so much going on nowadays. People's afraid. People's afraid. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's like the Red Sea. Here's Moses. There's the children of Israel. There's the Red Sea. Now what? We got women and children. Look here. You let us out here and there's the Red Sea. What are we going to do, preacher? And about that time, somebody looks there and says, there comes Pharaoh. Mountains over here. Desert over here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm sure they started crying. I'm sure some of them said, fire the preacher. You got us into this mess. Let us out here now. Look here. We're all going to drown. Pharaoh's going to kill us, take us back, make us slaves. We'll be worse off than we ever was. And you know what old Moses did? He said, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And held that rod out there and the Lord's out. Didn't even have to exert himself. And the wind blew that water back, buddy, and they walked across that sea on dry ground. Pharaoh tried to go where God's people only can go, and the water came back in and drowned them. God's all powerful. The Lord's going to get us out of here like that one of these days. I got right there. Out of here. I think sometimes that might be a type, the devil might try to chase us when we leave. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. Beware of any Bible teaching the world tries to give you. You know, I've had so many young people say, but then hey, guess what? I'm in college now and I'm taking a Bible course. I don't know if you should probably make an atheist out of you, because they discredit all the miracles and look at it from strictly historical point of view and undermine it, subtly undermine the miracles in the Bible. All right. Remember, God is all powerful. Samson, The Apostle Paul in jail. God got him out. Now, you know what? Paul's attitude was just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Lord's able to get us out of this. And we trust him. But if he don't, we're still going to serve him and still all right. Now, that's got to be our attitude. Listen, people. God's been good to us in this country for many, 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 many years. We've enjoyed blessings like no other country's ever had outside of Israel itself. But we may see some very rough days before this is all over. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to sound pessimistic. I'm just saying we may. I would pray and I'd say, Lord, you're able to stop this. You're able to change this. You're able to snatch us out of here anytime you want. But God, if you don't, we're still going to serve you no matter what. Jesus died. All the apostles died. Me and you may have to die. And I'm not telling y'all what to do in certain situations. You got the Bible. You do what the Bible says. And you'll come out on the other side all right. I said, number one, God's omniscient. Number two, he's all powerful. And the last thing I'm going to say is you got to remember that God's willing. He's not disconnected with us. He's very much involved. The Bible, how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible said he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn way over to the end, right before Revelation, and look at 3 John. This is a verse that most Baptist preachers will never even read or quote because it's been so perverted by the healers into teaching people they're never going to be sick. And that's not what the verse is saying, but this verse is still in the Bible. And it is still God's original perfect plan for us, and this is what he wants for us. Look at verse number 2. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Does that mean we're never going to get sick? No. But that means God does want what's best for us. So these old bodies have sin in them. And eventually stuff's going to go wrong with our body. But you know, God don't want people to hurt. God don't want us to suffer. God don't want people to be, he uses it. Sometimes he obviously allows it. Sometimes our own actions bring sickness and problems to our flesh. Amen. But the Lord has their best interest at heart. He's not up there trying to torture you, make your life miserable. He wants you to be blessed and healthy and happy and serving him. So you remember, the Lord is willing. He is willing. You just do the right thing and take whatever God's give you in life and make the best out of it. I read Dr. Lee Robertson. He was the pastor of the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga. Great church for many, many years back in the day. Great soul winning bus ministry, Highland Park, Tennessee Temple, all that stuff back when I first started preaching. And Lee Robertson said back, it is during the almost in the 30s, I guess, or middle 30s, when he started pastoring a church. He said, I was pastoring a church. My salary was $50 a week. I mean, a month. $50 a month. That's $12.50 a week. And that's not a lot. But in the 1930s, you keep from starving to death during the days of the Depression. And he said, I took my $50 and paid my tithes off of it because I believed God wanted me to, and I believed in tithing. He said, the first thing I done was I give God his. That left him 45. And he had to pay his bills, buy food, groceries, whatever expenses he had, travel, preach, and everything on $45 a month. And he said, he got down and he prayed and he said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And one morning he got up and he noticed there's an envelope stuck under his front door. And he thought, well, who's that to? Don't have nobody's name on it. He thought, right? And he opened it up and there's a dollar. And he said, praise God. Somebody brought me a dollar. He had no name on it. Didn't know where it come from. And the next morning he got up and there's another. And it happened again and again and again. 18 mornings in a row, he got up and there was a dollar. That's $18. That's almost a 50% raise or 40 or something like that on $45. And you know what? He said, I've got to know who's doing this. I've got to know. So one night he stayed up, and sure enough, 2 o'clock in the morning, and there come that envelope sliding under that door. And he went over and opened that door, and there stood a little old lady from the church. And she said, if you tell anybody who's doing this, I ain't going to give you another dime. And he said, okay, I won't tell nobody. I won't tell nobody. She says, I'm doing this for the Lord to try to help you. And you know what he said? He said she gave him $1 every in the middle of the night. Didn't want to be credited for it. Didn't want, and God used her to take care of him. And you know something, y'all? Hadn't the Lord always took care of you? He has me. Somehow, some way, the Lord always brought us through. And let's trust him and believe us to bring it. Don't go crazy. Don't jump on the bandwagon coming down the road. Don't lose your mind. Don't throw out your faith. If a UFO lands on the White House lawn and they come out and cure everybody, you say, Brother Danny, what would you do? I'd say, buddy, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I know it's a demon. That's a demon. The angel of light. The Bible said that's an angel of light. Satan is transformed to an angel of light. And if something like that was to happen, don't get excited. You keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come out right. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts before you this evening, we want to thank you, God, for being so good to us. Lord, we don't know what persecution is. We don't know what hard times are. Help every one of us to make up our mind to keep our eyes and our heart and our mind on you. To look to Jesus. Help us not to go looking to the world for answers to everything, but help us to look to you and your word and your spirit. Have your way in our hearts this evening. Do what ought to be done. Help us, Lord, keep the doors of Shining Light Baptist Church open. I pray. I beg you in Jesus' name. And I pray for all those churches that ain't even getting to have church, like my friend in New York and Brother Ryman and all them up there. Lord, please open it up that they can have church. Lord, it'd be too many people backslide. Too many people's going to quit. Too many people just give up altogether. Too many people are scared. Lord, please open the doors of the church so they can come back to church. Lord, I pray that you'd do it here. I pray that you'd help us to live for you and serve you every day. And again, I ask, keep that bubble of protection over our church and every member and visitor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you can turn them off. We'll talk just a minute here and let you go. Don't forget now, Sunday morning, we're going to have the seats.